Welcome back, everybody. Ooh, I just squeaked a little bit there to another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. You got me, the amazing Kyle Parks, the CTO here, rubbing my belly. I'm hungry. But I got Nick here.
What's up?
Oh, dude. I'm tired. I'm beat. I could probably actually now use the coffee, but I'm actually going to run out and grab another Celsius out of my truck because my Amazon shipment came in and my lovely wife dropped it off to me because she's like, I feel like you're struggling this morning. I'm like, I really am.
Yeah, we both are. Oh, my God. It's
I'm going to say this because I think it does need to be said. So I am the most happy-go-lucky person ever. Like, there's very little that'll knock me down, and I am not in any sorts that way knocked down. I'm just very tired physically. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, yesterday was nice though. I was actually very happy about yesterday. I felt very accomplished. We had our appointment for the little one, and you and I actually have to talk.
Oh God.
So the expected due date is October.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is.
So it's October 16th.
When is our thing?
16th to the 18th.
Oh, you're not going.
So
that conversation's over.
Yeah. So I figured I'd at least throw that.
You're done.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Did you go last year? Yeah, you went.
I did go last year.
Yeah, you did. But she didn't.
She didn't.
Did you get hell for that?
No, actually I didn't. She missed the shit out of me, and I was happy when I got home.
Ah. I'm not. TMI.
It's okay. We're allowed to go there.
TMI.
This is our podcast, so I'll make some executive decisions here and there.
Jesus Christ.
You need to laugh every once in a while. It's good. God. But yeah, she was okay. So right now we're 50-50 on Key West. She's not 100% sure, but she said if she goes to my parents, it's more than likely I can go. That'll be nice.
May. Yeah.
So I could probably go to Key West. But the nice thing is I don't have to fly Southwest. I can fly United for free.
Nice. Good.
So I've got like $1,000 in flight tickets right now that I could just.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to need a vacation here soon. I just need some recharge time.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that's interesting. I don't recharge very well just getting sleep.
Mm-mm.
I don't do it I need bullshit with the boys.
I need outside my element.
Yeah, I need bullshit with the boys or hanging out with friends. And when I mean boys, I don't mean just like my guy friend. Like, I have everybody come over. Like Matt and Marissa, Ben and Kimberly, Lyle and Zoe. Dude, he is a trip.
Yeah, he's a wild man.
Yeah, I get along with his whole clique, and that's a big clique.
Is it a big clique?
That's a big clique.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't realize it was big.
Do you notice how much that motherfucker talks?
It doesn't seem out of the norm to me.
Yeah, just put the math. So, yeah, he's got a big clique. Our clique is growing. I enjoy being around people. That's what recharges me, is hanging out with people. That's so, like, when we go to Equip, I'm not tired. I love Equip.
I'm out of work. When we drive home, I am silent. I'm like, that's enough. Enough talking
to me. Yeah, and then y'all put me in the fucking car by myself. That's not good.
Trust me, I know you're on the phone with Chloe.
Yeah, for the most of the drive, I was.
I don't know how you talk so much. There's not that much to talk about.
There isn't. I just come up with it.
I can't do it.
Hey, the doctor said I got HD, and I got 80 in them bitches.
I couldn't do it. All right, so Kyle's going to hit me.
I got a fun one here. So this wasn't really requested, but I think this one would be interesting for everyone because it gets us all to think. It gets Nick to a different level.
You're making me back up a lot.
Yeah, hit the brakes, drop a shit, and then run.
No shitting. I just got to go.
Yeah. All right, so $1,000 in your pocket and your phone. I want three scenarios.
Uh-huh.
One is the conservative, one is slightly risk-averse, and one very risk-averse. And then what are the things you're thinking about with each one and why?
So, okay. I got $1,000. I got my phone. I got nothing else.
Nothing else.
Do I have my skill sets I have right now?
Yeah, you have everything in your mind that you know. So it's okay, essentially $1,000, you're 10 years younger kind of thing. And you could just you have the time to just build what you can.
And I have my skills right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first thing that came to mind is I'm gonna call all my big contacts on my phone, and I'm just going to go try to get a job as a, as like a CEO. Because I was already offered a CEO
position. You just said F it, full send.
Yeah, well, I was already offered a big CEO, like $500,000 a year paying deal.
So this is your conservative one.
This is like, okay.
This is like you have contacts in your phone.
Yeah, well, so hold on. So the reason I said that was because most people get so caught up and focused on that $1,000. They're mm-hmm. like, I got to use that in order to do anything. No, you don't.
And that I do find interesting, because I would have thought the same thing is, okay, I need to use the resources I have and see who needs help.
Well, okay.
How can I make the money?
Time out, right? So you said I had my phone. You said I had my skill sets, and I had $1,000.
Yeah.
Well, my skill sets are worth more than $1,000. $1,000 for me is just like lunch money.
Yeah.
So what
that gets you through the next 5 days if need be.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would go in and I would go talk to some of the big wigs that I have in my, like, say Brightview. I'd call Brightview and go, guys, I've run 8-figure businesses. I've built them from nothing. I have modeling, product design. I have testing. I have testing abilities. I have marketing abilities. I have, I know how to manage people. I could literally go into Brightview today and I could run Brightview. I know I could.
Yeah.
Because I've already had those conversations with these people and I think I could do literally better than they do. So I'll give you,
watch me.
Watch me. And here I'll give you an example why I did what I just did. And I'm glad my brain did that to me, because it's just cool that my brain actually does it now. I drive down the road and I see this all the time. Tell me if you ever see this. Everybody follows a leader. Everybody, if there's two lanes, right? One lane will be full of cars. The other lane, let's say the right lane, has nobody in it.
Yeah, I have seen that, but then I'm the one that's like, I need to get away from these people. I need to get out. I need to punch a hole.
Yes.
And that's how my brain goes.
Most people aren't that way. Most people just follow the leader, just do what I was told. Because, again, our last podcast, we talked about school. We talked about brainwashing children, really, is what they're doing. Get in line, stay in line, do your job, do as you're told. They're just creating workers, right? So in my brain, I go, okay, well, where's the value? Where's the money at? Well, the money isn't the dollar, the $1,000 that you're offering. If you change the rules, you said you cannot go to any contacts to get a job with somebody else. You have to take the $1,000 and use it to make money. You have to use that.
Yeah.
And then you have your skill sets, but everything has to come from that $1,000. You have to build off of that. That's a whole different thing, right?
Well, and that's where I would like to go next. Is that be another scenario? But I want people to think about this, because not most people are going to think about it
so
that way. They're going to go, oh, I have this $1,000 and my phone. Well, how am I going to make money out of this $1,000?
So here's what I would do. I would, first thing I do is, okay, what are my skill sets? And then how much of that money do I need to then expand it, right? What can I pick that most people can't do that I can do, that I can make the most amount of money on? What has the most availability? And you got to go toward, there's either wants or there's needs. And here's what I've learned over the years. People will spend all the money in the world on a want, but not on a need. It's very frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, people will go out and buy drum sets, and they'll buy cars and all these different, they're all wants.
If you're a musician, though, it's more, that's how you make your money.
I'm talking about generally everybody.
Yeah, I'm just making a
asterisk. Yeah, well, everybody could say it's a need, but people make excuses for themselves. So
need coffee.
You don't need coffee at all. All you need is water.
Yeah,
that's it. That's what I have. That's my water. You got nothing. He's got Celsius.
I'm out. Reload.
So, okay. To take $1,000, how can I make that into the biggest amount of money the quickest? And with my skill sets, if your car's not running, you die because you can't get to work, right?
Yeah.
You can't get to things you need. So I thought, okay, well, this is actually the very first thing I thought. I thought, okay, I will take my phone. I will advertise that I can fix cars, and I will take that $1,000 and I will be like a mobile automotive repair guy.
Yeah.
That's easy. I don't have a car, right? You didn't offer me a car. So I can't, like, I'm really good at towing. I can tow trucks and trailers and all that kind of stuff, but I don't have a car. I have a phone, I have $1,000, and I have my skill sets. And let's say you can't just go get a job. Right, we'll add that extra one in there.
Yeah. Well, I think it needs to be two different. So, like, one is, okay, you're using your resources that you have, mm-hmm. and then instead of making it so that you have to use that $1,000, you're making it so you can benefit yourself versus then you have $1,000. How are you going to use that $1,000 to create the new you?
Right. So cars are something that will never go away, whether they're electric or gas. It doesn't matter. I would...
It's like grass. It always needs to be cut. Cars always need to be fixed.
Well, the thing with grass cutting is it's not so much that the grass needs to be cut, but it's the grass gets cut because why? Aesthetically, it's nice, but what's the actual reason people cut grass? Do you know?
Keep the rats away and shit.
Pests. That's exactly why they cut it. If you keep grass low, it keeps pests away. And that's why we do it as a society. It's good. No one's ever actually answered that correctly. Very good.
Because I use my brain.
Yeah, think about it. It's not that difficult. So, you know, okay, my skill sets are cars. My skill sets are building stuff, but I can't build a house with $1,000. I can't flip a house for $1,000. I can get there, but I can fix cars for $1,000. Brake jobs, tires. Like, I can change a tire with screwdrivers.
Yeah, because then you can get, well, even if you just do oil changes, you get a wrench set.
Right.
And then work with a wrench set for a while, do a bunch of oil changes.
Yeah.
Then you can go, okay, well, now I can start doing brake calipers and rotors.
Yep.
And then it's, okay, well, now we can get into...
The problem with that, though, is I don't have a car. I can't get to them. So I'd have to advertise that and get people to me.
Well, oil changes you can normally get to you, typically. You just say, yeah. Hey, so, 20 minutes, I'll have you in and out.
Yes. Oil changes are tough because then you got to do something with the oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's I would personally target, like, brakes.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. Or window tinting, right? Stuff like that. Something that's very easy. I could just throw in a trash can at a gas station. Make it real simple. So that's the first direction I went. The other direction I went was, you know, landscaping is my other very strong thing that I do. And what I would probably do is I would try to go out and sell low voltage lighting because I can pick up lighting cheap. I could get somebody, when I sign the contract, I could get them to pay me enough as a deposit to pay for most of the material. And then the money I would just use to buy a couple tools. And I can install low voltage lighting, and you know, low voltage lighting job, you can make $10,000 really quick.
Yeah.
Really, really quick. The other one that I went to in my head was like security camera systems for homes.
Yeah. Like installing Ring doorbells and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep. I could walk to somebody's house. I could take $1,000, I could Uber to Lowe's and buy a security system or something, or low voltage lighting. I could Uber to the house. I could install it all in the Uber home. I could do all that with $1,000.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Depends. If I'm going to go with the route that I know to build the quickest would probably be... I'm not a huge... I don't know too much about low voltage lighting, but at the same time, if I had a phone, I could figure it out on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
copy me. You can't copy
no,
me.
No, I'm putting things out there so that people aren't limiting themselves. Because the thing is, if you limit yourself, that's how you create the limits. Like, that, it's literally there. You're limiting yourself. If you create limitless possibilities, then you can figure anything out.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually funny. I was doing something the other day, and I was like, just figure it the fuck out. And then I ended up doing it. I'm like, oh, cool. That's easy.
Yeah, just sit down and think about it.
Oh, it was my, when the Y valve blew on my truck's antifreeze or my coolant system, I was like, well, how am I going to fix this today? And I ended up getting it fixed that day so I could do snow the next day.
Did you fix it or somebody else fix it?
I fixed it.
Nice. Good job.
So instead of trying to not get it done for the snow the next day, I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. You know, I probably would start with something easy and then work my way up. But if I had to start like ASAP, I would start with like weed and garden beds just because it's something nobody wants to do. You can make some money out of it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And that would just be kind of get inertia. I don't know. Because I personally enjoy doing the landscaping stuff, so I could do that. But then if I were to do something where I was really interested... That's a hard one.
See, you threw it at me.
No, I wasn't expecting you to go, aha, here's an answer, because it's not something you always think about.
It's hard. Like, it's really, really hard. Well, for me, it wasn't, because I'm really good at.
But the thing is I'm 26 almost, and it's not something you think about every day, because you have what you have, and you're trying to work further with what you have. I don't have as many experiences to go, oh yeah, I've done this.
Well, and that should tell you, you haven't done enough.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm thinking about it, because it's like, wow, what else could I do? I mean, I could do the mechanic. I would probably do something with boats.
You need to make something. You need to make money quick, because you're going to need like $5,000 by the end of the month.
But that's the thing, is doing that with boats, you're not going to really be able to figure that out as fast. And shit's expensive on boats.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't go. But I thought about boats. I didn't go there.
And that's the thing.
Like, you know what? Another one I would do, honestly, is trailer repair. Lots of people do not do trailer repair. That's a hard one. Or like welding. Like, I could.
Yeah, but you can't get a welder very.
I can get a cheap welder. You can get a cheap...
Would you trust him from Harbor Freight?
Oh yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
Wire is wire. It's just a matter of heat. Yeah. It's just heat.
I mean, I could weld, but
dude, I could buy a welder on Facebook Marketplace.
True. I'm just trying to think, what would I want to do? Because that is a fun one.
It done got you stumped, and you're the one asking the questions.
I know, and that's a good thing. That's why we do this, is just, you got to think outside the box. You know what? Here's a good one. So I had an old client. If we were to use our phone, an old client, his name was Cam. I loved him. He was one of our best clients. I'd reach out to him and figure out a way to get a job or learn from him, because he does a lot of coding. He used to actually work for Google and code for Google, and then ended up getting this new startup thing that they came up with that was like this like massive multi-million dollar cryptocurrency exchange app that he's working on. And I don't remember the name of it. He could probably text me and tell me it. But I'd figure out something under him, start working for him, if I had to do something to learn, like a new skill. If I were to do something to make money and know I could make money faster, it would probably be the landscaping, just because that's something I know. And scaling $1,000, if you put your mind to it, it's pretty easy within this industry. Outside of the industry, I don't know. If I were to do something where I knew I could make money quick. Damn. That kind of makes me feel like shit.
Right? See, you asked me this the other day, and I'm sitting here just beating my head against the wall going, what the hell would I do? And the first thing I thought of was, I will just take my skill sets and walk in someone's door and say, I know how to run businesses. I know how to make them profitable. I know how to look at the marketing. I know how to look at things from a production standpoint, from an artistic standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a process procedure standpoint, from a safety standpoint. Like, I have all those skill sets.
You know the main reason I asked the question?
I'd love to know.
It's a question that comes up a lot within certain people, and they always go, if I had $1,000, what would I do? Like, Graham does it all the time. Graham Stephan.
Uh-huh.
But they always give this, like, arbitrary, oh, I'd buy this course, I get this. And I'm not saying that Graham says that, but it's something that's very common for people to say. It's like, get this course, do that, and put your money here. And, you know, then you can put $1,000 and buy a house and flip it with no money down and blah, blah, blah.
All
and it's
theory.
Like, yeah, and I hate hearing that, because you go, yeah, but then you have liability of trying to sell another liability. You know, like, if you buy a home that's distraught and you go to put the money into it, you can't just get free money.
Right.
There is absolutely no such thing as free money.
No, there's not.
Right? Taxes are taxes for a reason, you know, and you overpay in them for a lot of stupid reasons.
Yeah.
You know, but think about that. That's money going to the government that's used interest-free that then you get back.
Right. Right.
You know, but if you go to loan from them, you have to pay interest for, you know, however much it may be.
Dude, look at this. I just got a picture from our sales guy, Brian.
Oh, CNC.
Mulchmate number one out in the wild working away, guys just filling wheelbarrows.
I got to get July. He wants to do one. He's in the spring rush, so he was like freaking out.
That's super, super rad, dude. That is so rad. I'm telling you, dude, I'm glad it's stumping you.
It's a hard question.
I'm glad.
And I know I'm young, and the only experience of I've – you know what?
You got to work on building your credentials.
I think I know what it would be.
What's that?
Sales. I would focus more on trying to figure out how I could be a salesman.
What are you going to sell, though?
I don't know. I'd have to figure out what – could I do it from Ultimate? Hell yeah. I would enjoy that.
You'd have to sit someone down, though, and prove to them that you could do it. You'd have to. There's a convincing factor there.
And that's the thing, is I would learn it. But I would learn it – okay, I wouldn't go through a course or anything like that. I would use the $1,000 to try to buy my time, mm-hmm. and then find a way to sell what I would have to.
Mm-hmm.
Sell myself to be able to then sell other things. But the thing is being able to sell myself first.
Yeah, if I was going down that road, you know what I would want to sell? Insurance.
Mm. Why?
Residual. Everybody needs insurance. Every business, every person.
What kind?
Life and auto and home.
All right, let's start it right now.
Seriously, that's where I would go, because the problem that this company has that I don't like, every company has its thing. That's just nothing's perfect.
Yeah. Right?
There's this business. There is a minimal amount of residual income. I'll give you a great for instance. So if we sell. So say we sell 1,000 tarps every year. So if we have, I'll tell you how this goes. So in a Mulchmate scenario, if we sell 1,000 Mulchmates and we have 1,000 of them out there, and we say on average we have one tarp per Mulchmate every single year, which is a very low, you know, maintenance cost.
Yeah,
it's $675, $679. And there's no fuel, there's no oil, there's no nothing. It's just that's the only consumable for the whole year.
It's Velcro.
It's Velcroed in. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
If we do that and you do the numbers at 1,000 a year, it's like $650,000 just in tarps in residual income.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good. That's really good. And as the company grows, this goes back to, we were talking about this in an episode, I don't know which episode it was, but the value of this company. You know, the value of the company is the patents and how many years there are on them, and then the sales that are translated every single year over and over and over, right? So not only is the company valued off of that, but it's also valued off the fact that we sell, you know, parts and tarps and, you know, there's some other technologies we're working on now that will have more and more residual income. So as this company continues to mature, it is going to get exponentially...
Episode 47.
It's going to be exponentially going to be worth more and more and more and more and more and more and more because of that residual income. So with the insurance, what's great about it is the government literally forces you to buy it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's number one.
Especially for cars and health.
Yes, and you should with home, too. I mean, it's your home. It's like the biggest asset most people ever own.
Yeah.
Things happen, right? We've had fires, right? Shit happens. I would go there because the government forces it. It's residual. It's constantly coming at you. It's constantly being charged, and it just gets set on repeat. Now, I don't love insurance. I think that industry's boring, but I like cash.
And there's a lot in it.
Yeah. So that's
it's interesting. I never knew this, but the insurance companies then deal with a brokerage, which then are the ones that are not necessarily funding, but they have the, I guess you could say the...
It's the pool of cash.
Yeah, it's very... Because Patrick McDavid was talking about it the other day, or I was reading his book, and he was talking about how he had his insurance company, and then there's other insurance companies, and then there's like... It's a fucking pyramid. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. So like you're down at the bottom, you're purchasing the insurance, then you go up to the insurance companies, and the insurance companies go up to another, whatever that... facets called, and I couldn't tell you it off the top of my head, mm-hmm. but they're then getting that pool of money, or they're funding that pool of money. It's very interesting how it works, but if you can get to that tier within the insurance business, because Ed Mylett was doing it, or is still doing it, I don't mm-hmm. remember.
I'm not surprised.
Bette David did it, sold his company for $250 million.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, insurance is huge.
Or like, it sold his share or whatever the hell it was, but he sold whatever he had in it for $250 million. So he made $250 million out of it, which is insane, and is now doing, what's the name of it? Some sort of like business preparation stuff when it comes to your business money. Can't remember the name of it. I'll be able to figure that out, though.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's the direction I would go. Like, I thought about marketing, but marketing, you're constantly in a sell. And I'm not good enough at, like, running.
You can manage the people to sell.
Yeah, but $1,000 isn't enough to have the people.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Now, I could get there, but I don't know. If you took away... If you strip me of everything, even my own like kind of knowledge, that's a tough one. That's rough.
See, and this is I like this because it's making us think.
I think I nailed it.
Yeah,
I think I nailed it. You know, right.
Well,
out of
the thing is, nobody thinks about it that way. They just go, right. "Oh yeah, well, how do I use the money?" Well, it's not necessarily you need to use the money. You need to be able to have that money as you can use it as a pool to draw from if need be. But focus on how you can either benefit yourself or others.
Here's what I challenge you with. Stop looking at the things in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking. Like, whenever I traveled for years, I would get in a plane, and I'd fly over all those houses, and I'd look at them all, and I'd go, money, 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 money. How do I tap in?
A transaction.
Yeah. How do I tap in to every single person's pocket? And I was like, what do they all share in common? And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. And fortunately, unfortunately, right? If I could redo it all over again, I'm sure there's an easier way. But I was a landscaper, so I kind of was in that mindset. So I was kind of, it was a filter, right? A landscaper's filter I was looking through. And I was like, there's mulch at every one of those houses. And nobody's, like, no one's talking about it. It's all... We just pitchfork it out of a truck and out of a trailer, and we put it on the ground and we leave. And I was like, wow, hold on. What if I could not necessarily touch the mulch in the sense of having it put down, but what if I could replace people, right? Because my head was a landscaper and my head was labor's an issue.
Yeah.
And that's how the mulchmate came to be. And the way I see it is it should damn near become – The goal in it, I think it should be just for humans in general in this industry is mulchmate should just become the staple of your company.
Yeah.
Like the mower, like your truck. And when you do mulching, you just get a mulchmate. Like that's just the way it goes. And that's what you use. And instead of using just a pitchfork or a dump trailer, you just go buy one of our DMTs and it does everything. It does leaves. It does, you can carry mowers to job sites if need be. It can move mulch, it could carry debris back and swing it open and dump it. You name it, it'll do it.
That was the one thing I was thinking about the other day is like a lot of the properties I'm going to try getting into, I'm going to end up start bagging the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I'm charging for it, mm-hmm. but I'm doing it because it's leaving a cleaner finish for the properties that we want because a lot of people don't like having the grass all over the place or they go to go inside or walk through the grass and then they go inside. Holy shit, that is a long rig. Shut up.
It's 10 and 9, just saying.
oh, my God, I hate ADHD. Back to my not messed up schedule in my head. It just leaves a cleaner finish, and when people walk through the yard and come back inside, they don't want the grass clippings coming with them.
Makes sense.
So I offered that as a bigger option this year, and I would love the DMT for this reason is because then I could drive up on the platform, dump the baggers in, put the baggers back on the mower, and then drive down the road, and I've got a nice, clean, fresh property, especially after it rains, dude. Some of these lawns, after it rains around here, it mm-hmm. just turns into a mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's nasty. Sorry.
Yeah, I would probably I would find a way to sell myself to be able to sell a product and then work off of that. And use this $1,000 as like a pool to stretch my next coming week. That way I can then go out and sell. Because I know I can sell something because when I believe in something, I know I can do it.
Yeah. Well, it's the passion, right? If you don't have passion for what you're doing, you'll never sell it.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, So there's this old story. I love this story. So a couple goes in to a jewelry store, and this couple is looking at diamond rings and different things, and the salesman comes out and he's talking to him. He's telling him all the stats on it and all the you know, all the beauty of it and the shape and what mine does it come out of and all this stuff, right? And the couple is like, huh, that's cool. All right. And they leave.
Yeah.
And the owner's like, or no, I'm sorry. The salesman goes to the owner and he's like, why can't I sell these people? Like, it's driving me crazy. And the owner just goes, go ask him to come back in the store. So he goes outside, grabs his, come back. The owner wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or no, he doesn't say the owner. He just says, I have somebody I want you to talk to. So they come back in, not knowing the guy's the owner. And the owner goes like this. He goes, think of it this way. Imagine this. You two go on a beautiful, beautiful vacation to Italy. And you're wearing your beautiful diamond and your pearl necklace. And your lovely husband takes you out to the finest restaurant in all of Italy. Overlooking, you know, the sea or whatever, right? Up on a mountainside, beautiful dinner, wine, this and that. Tell me, how do you think that's going to make you feel? And she's like, that'd be amazing. He goes, well, this is the beginning to that trip. And he goes, and the guy's just like, done, and buys it. And the reason is, the reason that worked out that way is because the salesman is all about stats and numbers and trying to get the sale, and the owner's like, I don't care. I want you to visualize what it's going to be like in a moment when you're going to enjoy this thing, right? And that's what I try to do with Mulchmate is like, if you notice, if you go back and you read some of my copyright, you'll see I use the word imagine a lot. And it's like, imagine being able to go out and mulch a job or put down Riverstone and you not sweat.
I try to learn what the specific individual likes, because you can't just go, okay, imagine your back doesn't hurt. Well, they're like, well, I'm not the one doing it. Okay, well, now where do I go? Well, think okay, about it, the guys. Well, let's think about your guys. Well, let's think about what are you focused on? Oh, you're focused on the money. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how do we show, you know? And that's the one thing I'm learning. I'm almost there with Mulchmate. Mm-hmm. Is what's the word called? I'm regurgitating what you have, mm-hmm, facts wise, but I'm also learning different facts of other companies and learning myself from using it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's helping me understand how to connect with the people.
Yep.
You know, because you can't, it's not a one size fits all.
No, it's a relationship.
Yes. And that's what's to been, or what I've started to learn of just, it's a turnaround, but it's like a ship. You have to slowly come around and you're like, mm-hmm, oh, now it's making sense.
Yeah. All I do is I know how to connect with people. I know how to jump into their shoes and get comfortable with them and just go, well, look at this. Take a look at, you know, find out what their end goal is and then help them get to their end
goal.
Start
to finish and work backwards.
Yeah. But theirs, right?
Yeah.
And then,
theirs.
And then become the thing that helps them get to their goal. If you can help them get there, their wallet opens.
Yeah.
That's the key and goal and trick to sales. I just gave everybody a billion-dollar piece of advice.
Practice learning.
So, I mean, I've done it for so long. It's true, and that's how you get there. And, you know, what I also learned way back when was, people come to you for one of two reasons. They either know what they want but have no clue how to get there, or they don't know what they truly want and they come to you because you're the professional in the area that they know they're weak in.
Yeah.
And that's typically how it goes. There's also one other one where people know exactly what they want, they know how to do it, and this is me. They know exactly what they want. They know how to get there, but they don't have the time.
Yeah.
Dude, did I tell you about my oil change in my truck? Did I tell you about that?
No.
I have never once paid anybody ever to do an oil change on any of my vehicles. Never, not once in my life. Ever. And you know how many vehicles I've owned? Like, I don't know.
Enough.
50, 60, 70. I don't know in my lifetime. A lot. Saturday, I got up and I said, my kids are more important. I need to get my oil change on my truck. I'm not going to sit out in this weather and do it. I'm going to take it to a guy that I trust that I've grown a relationship with. And we literally communicate on TikTok. That's where he's always on. He's always there. I text him. He doesn't respond. I hit him on a message with TikTok. He responds. His name's Luis. He's a Hispanic guy over here. And he's got a nice big shop. And took my truck over there. Had him change the oil. Had him rotate. He put the front tires on the inside rears of my dually. Because the front tires are already starting to cup because it's a 450.
Yeah.
And, I've actually put 15,000 miles on that truck already.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
When you do the long trips to, you know.
All over the country.
Georgia.
Yeah. Everywhere. It's
been, Louisville.
Yeah. Connecticut. You name it. It's been all over the freaking place.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, I know how to change tires. I know how to do oil changes. But I ran into a situation where I was like, dude, there's just, there's no time.
There is. There's a chasm of where you start to buy it back.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I know how to do it, but would it be more worth somebody else to do it for me?
Correct.
And that was the one thing that I thought was interesting from one of the learnings in Choose Your Enemies Wisely. This is like, yes, you can take the time out of your day to go to a doctor, but if it is less time or it allows you to focus your energy elsewhere to have the doctor come to you, it's more worth it.
Yeah, it is. It's like something I'd love to do at some point is I'd like to start getting my hair cut here at the shop.
Yeah.
And like call the girl I get my hair cut and be like, hey, come in, cut my hair, cut all my guy's hair, be done with it, get my crew looking good, feeling good.
Gotta have Brandon from the social come in.
Brandon. Yeah, but he ain't my girl.
That's my guy.
I got a chick that does
Yeah, but you get free beer, bitch.
I don't like beer.
I don't like beer. I had my first Natty Bo the other day. I was weird. I was like, bay water. Yummy. Drank enough of this.
So, yeah. So, going back to, like, your whole $1,000, you know, cell phone comment, that's how I'd go about it. I don't know how else to go about it.
You made me think a different route, though, of the use what you have versus just use the money. Because everyone wants to go just use the money.
Well, because they're blind.
And then multiply it versus use what you know and the people you know to first get your feet.
Well, find the value.
Yeah.
Where's the value? What's worth the most? Right? And what's worth the most is what's in your head.
Exactly.
If you can take what's in your head and get it out.
I've been finding it very hard to listen to Andy recently. But he had something really interesting yesterday that I liked. It was, it's not the amount of time that you put into something that makes you valuable. It's the amount of value that you're able to get. So if you're able to multiply that time versus just using what's there, that's what makes you the most valuable.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to demand a raise, create the value versus just expecting that you have to put the time in.
I 100% agree. And when it comes to raises, it's blatantly obvious. When I give somebody a raise, it's because they've made it obvious. Just so make it obvious.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard to do. So, all right, guys, I'm getting really tired. I'm going to get coffee.
Sounds so good.
All right. We're going to close this one down. We got to go. We got things to do. I got a customer client coming in here really soon that I got to get prepared for.
I'm going to edit this, and I'm going to go do gearboxes. Yay. Yeah.
All right, guys, have an awesome day. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. We love you. We appreciate you. Please share the show. It means a lot to us. So any kind of social media posts or, you know, all that kind of good jazz, please just grab a link and share it. We really do appreciate it. And don't forget to check out MulchMate at all our different social media platforms. Just Google MulchMate. And if you like it on Facebook, get it on Facebook. If you like it on Twitter, get it on Twitter. If you like it on TikTok, get it on TikTok.
If you liked it on LinkedIn, do it on LinkedIn.
Do LinkedIn. Nick Carlson on LinkedIn. We also have our YouTube channel. I'm always trying to post there as much as possible. I've been doing a lot better here recently, so that's good. No excuses.
Somebody all right. Got a bug up their ass.
I'm bound and determined to win. I'm going to do it. And when I'm done, I'll know it's because I put my head down.
Oh, so you know, want to know what my one stump was with getting the social media stuff out? I can't get that computer to take what's in the Google Drive and make it so that I could put it in CapCut. It will not transfer anything out of the Google Drive.
Mine won't do it either.
I don't know what it is, and I got stuck.
I know.
And I'm like, fuck. So I got to figure that fun stuff out.
We're going to have to sit down.
Beyond that, I'm working stuff out on the back end that you don't know about.
Uh-oh. Here
you
come.
Suck it, bitch.
Suck it. All right, guys. Have an awesome day. We love you, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Don't miss me too much.
Mulchmate.
Bye.